This is Allie Lightfoot, and you're tuned into the Wildcard Hour on KBNF. New Orleans blues musician Kapori Woods recently moved to the area. He stopped by the KBNF studios today to chat and play a few songs before his show at Revolution Brewery.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Come on. Baby, don't you wanna go to that sweet old place, sweet old Chicago? Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Come on. I'm heavy loaded, I got to go, come on. Baby, don't you wanna go to that sweet old place, sweet old Chicago? When is the last time I walked down the avenue? I got something for you, baby, won't you do? Come on. Baby, don't you wanna go? Sweet old place, sweet old Chicago. Chicago.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for that.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
That's Kapori Woods right there, and he is an award-winning blues, funk, and jazz artist. He was schooled under the direction of Ellis Marsalis and has won Offbeat Magazine's Best of the Beat Awards for Best New Blues Artist 2 years running. And he's right here in our studios at KVNF. Thanks for being here today on Talking Music.
Thanks for having me.
So you moved from New Orleans,
yes,
to Montrose, Colorado. That is interesting.
Yes.
It must be different, quite different experience living there.
It's different. It's a lot different in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go down a list. I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, give me a list. What do you like about it, that change that you've made?
It's more quiet, more laid back, beautiful scenery, less trouble we get into.
Uh-huh.
It's harder to get in trouble. You know, I mean, I don't know. That. I mean, the hours are different, so it's like people in bed, 9, 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time the clubs are closed. That's the time I used to wake up to go out to go to the club. So I think it took me a couple of months to get used to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of frustrating at first.
Right.
You know, it's cold. I got here with January, you know, and at first I just kind of stayed, you know, with my kids for a while. For the first couple of months, just kind of keeping them until they got well and they were able to go out and go to school or whatever. But,
So yeah. You have two kids?
Yeah.
Both
two daughters.
How old are they?
2 and 10 months.
Oh my goodness, they're little babies.
Yeah.
How long did you live in New Orleans? Your whole life before you moved here?
Pretty much. I've been in New Orleans since I was 2 years old.
And music became a part of your life at an early age because your grandfather was Luscious Lloyd Lambert, and he was a legendary New Orleans bass player who worked with like Ray Charles, Little Richard, Danny Barker, Doc Cheatham, and that's sort of where you started to learn the ins and outs of the business. Did you get to see these people play live?
Yeah, I got to see pretty much everybody with Guitar Slim. He played with Guitar Slim. He was on a hit record, Things I Used to Do. And of course, he told me the story. So, I mean, since I was maybe 5 years old, I had the vision in my head of what he told me.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, I got a chance to see Doc Cheatham before he died. He played gigs with him. I didn't get a chance to see him play with Ray Charles, because I was like in the 70s. I was probably 3 years old. I think it's in the 70s. I'm not sure when that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you learn from him, your grandfather? I mean, probably so much, but like, what are some of the stories he told you and what kind of?
Well, I guess to start with, the first story that's always on my mind is about how much, you know, fun it was and how, you know, Slim was a showman. And, you know, they would, back then they had 100-foot court that they would go outside and perform and go out of the club and then come back in, kind of thing. The elaborate, you know, the cars, the, of course, the women. Me being a young kid, you said girls, you know. So I was like, you know. Of course, I envisioned it a little bit different than what he said, but, you know, it ends up being the same, I guess. But, I mean, things I learned musically, I wouldn't say so much from a book. It's more about just making it feel right,
mm-hmm.
more than just, you know, the technical side of it from him. You know, he had the technical side down, but it was more about the feel. You know, it's more about how it felt coming out. Like, you know, more or less feeling that you feel from your soul, you know, coming out and other people feeling it, being able to connect to it. He was the type of guy that, it's always happy, kind of party kind of guy. Not party in the fact that he was very, very controlled in it. You know what I mean? He's talking about a guy that read his Bible every time before he went to work, but he knew he was going to the club. And then he had a certain level of control in his demeanor. Of, you know, he come from that old school gentleman club.
Yeah.
You know, put on a hat, always dressed well. You know, my grandmother would be mad because, you know, I came in my workout clothes, but I had to get my gym workout today. So, you know, but normally, yeah. Dress pants, dress shoes, that kind of thing. No tennis shoes, never.
Yeah. Presentation was important to him.
Very
yeah.
important, you know, yeah.
When did you start playing?
I got my first guitar, I was 5 years old. I think I was beating kind of with the tools before that, so they figured I was going to be into music. Playing, I think... played in church, you mm-hmm. know. I mean,
did you start with gospel?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much gospel up until I was 17. I mean, you know, I mean, I played in school, so I mean, I played more than just gospel, you know, with the school band. But I'm talking about in terms of a professional experience. My professional experience maybe started at 12, and that would be within church, though, you know. I came up with the quartet groups. So I think y'all have some of the records here. Me and Thomas kind of went through those before. Groups I've played with that's from New Orleans that we actually, you know, we're on the road. You know, we go play at different churches, you know, up and down the road, Mississippi, you know.
What kind of training do you think that gives you playing in church as a musician? Like, what did you get from that experience that you still use today? You know what I mean?
Guess that happy feeling that you get, you know, from playing. I mean, the spiritual side of us. I mean, the human side of connecting with others and getting together to have a good time and, you know, happy. And sad, you know. Because, I mean, you know, you're not always happy with music. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, you play for funerals or different things too, you know. Sometimes people are sad, but they come to get happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm answering the question.
No, correctly. That answers my question. Okay. Do you feel like that? I know a lot of people who started in church, playing in church. There's so much like call and response when you're when you're performing in a church, like the audience is actively participating in that performance, in some churches anyway. And okay. I imagine the church you were playing in, what was it kind of a shock when you get out of that and people are just sort of sitting there? You know how people just sort of sit and listen and they don't?
Well,
there's no response to your performance.
I'll tell you what, the church that I was baptized in, I was 12 years old. A lot of stuff happened around that age, you know, for me when it comes to the gospel and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, at times at that church, it was one of those Southern Baptist churches. It was a black church, but it was Southern Black Baptist, small, wasn't a huge church, but it was a nice size, you know, all the traditional look.
Right.
You know, the American flag and the religious flag, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they sung the stuff out the hymn book, you know. So they were really uptight.
Oh, really? You know, they were uptight?
Very much so. The church, that church. But, and I was like the first guy to play drums there. And it was weird, you know, because, you know, some people, oh, it's too loud. And one sister would like, give me money every Sunday. She said, oh, you did good. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But then my godfather, which wasn't my grandfather, but I had a godfather too. I've had been fortunate to have a lot of different teachers and mentors and dads. So my godfather was from Mississippi, and I'm thinking it was more Gulfport, Mississippi. And he had a gospel group and called the Soul Survivors, and I started playing drums with the group. So then from there, he connected to different churches all over, and we would kind of travel. Those churches were more interactive.
Uh-huh.
Because we went to spiritual churches. We went to churches that, oh, man. People's
just,
shoes
they're
come
feeling
off
it, right?
Everything. Yeah. I mean, God, hey, we talk. Oh man, it was. You know, we actually went to like the spiritual church where they would actually look like the nuns. You know, but oh man, you talking about church?
You know. That must have been cool.
Well, it was cool and scary too. You know, being a kid. You know, because you never know what they're gonna do. I mean, they get the Holy Ghost and start jumping around.
Right.
You know, and, you might have to watch out. Some shoes might come off. You know.
So, wow.
I mean, that was real. You know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a church I think I want to belong to. Actually.
Well, they cool. were fun. They were fun. They were cool. You know, like I said, you just, you know, you had to kind of, you know, seemed like people came and they really got out of whatever issues they had. I mean, they kind of came and it was church.
Right.
When they left, they felt cleansed. And I guess, you know, I never thought about it until now, but I guess I missed that because, I mean, you know, it's like you feel cleansed so you can go back and live life and kind of be happy.
Right.
You know?
Having that kind of ritual every week.
Right.
And that sense of community too. Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Can we hear another song?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm here with Kapori Woods.
All right. Say you love me, baby. Call me on the phone sometimes. Say you love me, baby. Call me on the phone sometime. When I hear your voice now, baby, ease my worried mind. One of these old days, show you how nice a man can be. One of these old days, show you how nice a man can be. I buy you a brand new Cadillac, speak some good words about me. Thank you. hear my phone ringing, baby. Sound like a long distance call. Hear my phone ringing, baby. Sound like a long distance call. Party on the line said, now, baby, got another mule kicking in your stall.
It sounded good to me.
Yeah, I don't know. The last call, like, wow. I ain't played by myself in a while. Me and Daniel been playing a lot together, you know?
Cool. So you have a friend with you here who's your drummer, Danny. And Danny just moved to the area too, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you guys found each other.
Yeah.
Doing some gigs together.
Yeah. Thanks to Facebook.
Is that how you found each other?
Yeah, he sent me messages and stuff. I was like, this guy keeps sending me messages. Gotta be, you know, it's gotta
He's
be
serious.
Good, you know? He sent me messages and videos of himself playing. I was like, but, you know, I was like on the road a lot then. You know, I was kind of in and out. You know, by, I guess, March or so, I started going out on the road a lot more. So, and then I just got back maybe a couple of weeks ago. I just kind of been kind of chilling out more here.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally got together. Played some gigs. It's been pretty cool.
So we were talking earlier a little bit about your musical beginnings, which were started in gospel,
mm-hmm.
and now you play blues. How did that transition happen?
Oh, wow.
And what's the relationship between the two? Because there's even gospel blues. There's mm-hmm. those two things can definitely go hand in hand.
Well, I guess I'd start by saying, I mean, when it comes down to life, I mean, life to me is blues. I've always been happy, you know, living life. You know, now as, you know, you start to realize there's more reality to it. How I ended up playing blues, my grandpa died. So let's start there. I was going to school for jazz, University of New Orleans. And when he passed, actually I was going to school, kind of get into blues. They were like, blues is for guys who can't really play. You know, you play jazz. That's for cats that's really, you know, they only chops. So it's like, you know, studying jazz, and then you know, he died. It's like, I don't know. It kind of kicked the blues in.
Yeah.
And not so much because I was bluesy because he passed. I wanted to live on his legacy. Let me say that. So I started down that road, and then I started wearing the Stetson hat because he wore it. Of course, I don't wear it anymore now. But I just got jobs instantly.
Yeah.
Just because. You know, you young guy playing the blues. God, dog. So I started working, you know. Started working places that I wasn't working already because I was still learning jazz. So I mean, blues is like, you know, I was learning that too. But I was able to just work. And so I found that, you know, it was good. I mean, there was a relationship, I guess, between the blues, the gospel that I learned from Mississippi and the blues. Maybe they're similar in some of the feels. The blues, there's certain licks that you hear, like Albert Collins or Muddy Waters, or, you know, some of the things that they do. I guess I would say they're similar to gospel in certain feelings that you feel. There's certain things you can't express while you're in church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can express
you
in blues.
You can take that to blues. Yeah.
Right. You know, you can tell the truth. You know, the blues, you can't just go to church and tell everybody, oh, man, you know, I got drunk last night. You know, I did this, I did that. And the blues, you can just put it out there. You can be real, you know, with it. And, you know, of course, I mean, I'm not knocking the gospel side because that's the cleansing side. You know, you always can, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Like, what I love about New Orleans is that they actually kind of infuse it all together somewhat. You know, Saints Go Marching In is kind of like a gospel song, but, you know, they do a lot of other stuff and then, you know, do the gospel towards the end and everybody go home and they feel happy,
mm-hmm.
you know. Even, you know, so my experience has been great, you know. I mean, you know, I love the blues, I love gospel, I love, you know, I love it all. And what I love about Colorado is that I guess the thing that I envisioned when coming here was more the singer-songwriter thing and trying to infuse that into what I'm doing. Haven't been able to get to that where I want to be yet. But I did have a band when I played Main Street Emotion where had Daniel, I had two drummers and guitar player and a bass player from here, and kind of gave me a different feel for blues. So, you know, I liked it, you know.
Great.
So I'm enjoying it, and I'm enjoying the ride.
Good. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm here with Kapori Woods, and he's actually, if you're in Paonia, you could probably see him right now, because this is airing later. You could see him right now in person, live, if you want to run down to the Revolution Brewery, because he's playing there tonight. And then he's opening up for Miss Tess and the Talkbacks in the park tomorrow night. That's Thursday night in Paonia Town Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yep.
So get on out there and see him.
Yeah.
And if we could, I'd love to hear one more song before you go.
Okay. There's one that they play, you know, kind of on the radio a lot here. And I was like, well, man, don't play that one, you know? Like, you know? But they end up playing.
They playing the wrong song?
Yeah, it's kind of a naughty song. Maybe I should do it. Anyway, I'll do a little bit.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear it.
All right. Come on and meet me. Meet me with your black drawers on. Come on and meet me, baby. Meet me with your black drawers on. But if you don't wear your black drawers, baby, don't wear no drawers at all. Come on and meet me. Meet me with your black drawers on. Come on, meet me. What did the chicken say to the duck? She ain't good looking, but she knows how to treat me. Meet me with your black drawers on. You don't wear your black drawers, baby. Don't wear no drawers at all. One leg in the east, one leg in the west. Gonna try and love you, baby, try and do my best. Come on and meet me. Meet me with your black drawers on. You don't wear your black drawers, baby. Don't wear no drawers at all. Meet me with your black drawers on. Don't wear no drawers at all. Well, a peach is a peach, a plum is a plum. Baby, I wanna love you. You my, come on and meet me. Meet me with your black drawers on. You don't wear your black drawers, baby. Don't wear no drawers at all. Yeah. All right. Pick that up in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I didn't learn that with the church. I learned that, you know, playing like Charmaine Neville, Marvin Wright, New Orleans artists. And they would do, you know, different songs like that, and artists would love it. And I said, oh, man, I got to do that, you know. And, you know, sometimes songs like that, it's easy to, like, connect with people because sometimes people, like you said, sometimes they come in, they're, like, real nervous and they're sitting there and they're like,
boy, you're like, loosen up, people.
Exactly. Let's break the ice. And so you break the ice and kind of, you know, it rolls. Unless you get, like, the church people.
Yeah.
Like, that's at the club. And like,
what?
Yeah, and they're like looking at you. But I like Montrose, and I like, you know, this area of Westwood Slope because everybody's kind of cool. They like it all.
You've been listening to an interview with blues musician Kapori Woods. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Thank you for listening.